I'm Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. As the IE's preeminent economic development organization, the Inland Empire Economic Partnership, or IEEP, keeps an eye on the trends and data relating to businesses and employment in our region. Twice since the pandemic started, we've had experts from the IEEP on the program to help answer questions about our local economy in these trying times. And with new data just out on Friday, we're pleased to have with us again today, for the second time, the Inland Empire Economic Partnership Chief Economist, Manfred Kyle. And I should mention that Dr. Kyle is also a professor at the Claremont McKenna College, Robert Day School of Economics and Finance. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
So when we spoke in April, you had made some projections. I want to talk about some of them and then learn of newest projections that you have looking forward. Let's just talk about unemployment first. I know the report has recently come out, so let's talk about that first. Unemployment here in the Inland Empire. What do you have to report?
So there's a small picture you can look at in terms of, you know, we can discuss how the numbers changed from the months before, and we can do this sector by sector. But that's not that interesting, really.
Okay.
I think in terms of your audience, to get a big picture, there is really only one thing that they need to know, that we have five sectors that completely dominate the unemployment picture, in the sense that two-thirds of all unemployment that we have occurs in those five sectors.
Okay.
And we could play a guessing game, and I'm pretty sure that you would guess all five of these sectors, right? Because these are the ones that were most heavily affected by the shutdown. So the first one is obviously the one that is affected in the biggest way, and that's leisure and hospitality.
Right.
Everyone could have guessed this. So, I mean, these are the restaurants that are closed. This is what is affected by tourism, hotels not running, and so forth, right? The second one, and I think I may have mentioned this before, is a bit of a surprise. I still think you would have guessed it. It's health and education. And it is not really because of education, because a lot of teachers have not been laid off, although in private schools they have been. But it is really health services. So it is things like, I finally went to see my dentist last month, but before that I couldn't have seen it for a routine checkup. Right.
Right.
And it's the same thing in hospitals. And we see this in Europe as well, where some hospital wards had to close because if it wasn't related to coronavirus, people, A, were not admitted for non-emergency cases, or B, were afraid to go to the doctor. Right. So these are the two big sectors that dominate this. And then the third one, you would have also guessed, is retail trade, because these are stores, shops. And it's only now that we have allowed, to some extent, to have retail places open. The fourth one is related to leisure and hospitality and to retail. It's called other services. And that includes hair salons and nail salons, for that matter.
Right. And the
point is, as you know, Governor Newsom did not allow hairdressers and nail salons to open until much later. And once again, they're closed. The final sector is perhaps a bit of surprise, but not really if you think about it. It's professional and business services. So this is people who work in offices, and they were perhaps temporarily shut down. So one more time, between those five sectors, you get two-thirds of all unemployment. Everything else dwarfs. I mean, you know, I can spin a story about government or construction. You know, government has been doing particularly poorly, having not recovered any of the jobs lost from March to April. And I could say, well, it's wonderful how much better construction has done. They've almost regained all the jobs lost. But if you looked at the numbers, you would say, why are you talking about construction? It's such a small loss compared to leisure and hospitality, right? It dwarfs everything else. So that's the big picture. If your listeners need to tell someone else what this coronavirus recession or contraction is all about, it's about the five sectors that everyone guessed would be most affected. And therefore, this also plays now in terms of the recovery. We really just need to focus on what will happen in those five sectors. If we can get back in those five sectors quickly, then everything will be good. We may not be where we were in terms of unemployment in February. Maybe we will be 1 or 2 percentage points above that. But you really have cured the disease, no pun intended, if you can focus on those five sectors.
Right. So just talking about those, we did open up for a while. And what I saw as soon as we were opening up is people were out there. People were at the bars, were at the restaurants, were shopping again. I know I was shopping because I hadn't shopped in 2 months. So immediately I'm thinking the economy is going to start coming up and then we close down again.
Yeah. So I have been thinking about this in terms of I looked at past recoveries and the shape of it. To sort of make a statement that it's going to be a V-shaped recovery versus a Nike swoosh and so forth.
Right.
And I've decided that's pretty useless to look at past recoveries because mm-hmm. we've never had a recession like we currently have that was caused by a virus. So a much better way to look at this is to look at economies elsewhere that have recovered. So let's say in China or perhaps closer to us in terms of behavior, and political system, Europe. So here's, for example, where Germany stands at the moment. This is of interest to us. So Germany is trying to allow the public audience to enter into stadia in the fall. So this would be the equivalent of allowing people to watch live games in baseball, in football, not in basketball because that's indoors, and so forth. So what is the criterion that they have set? The criterion that they have set is if over the last 7 days you add together the new cases, you divide them by the population of that city and multiply that by 100,000. If that number is 20 or less, then they will allow half of the stadium roughly to be filled. So in my hometown, Frankfurt, which holds 51,000 people in its stadium, they will be allowed to have a little bit less than half, 21,000. So that's the criterion. Now, I've looked at this in Riverside County and in San Bernardino County, and now we could play a different game. I could say to you, guess what that number currently is in Riverside County and in San Bernardino County. And perhaps you would think it's big, and maybe you would say, oh, it's 150. And then I would say, well, I would have guessed 151, so I would be closer. but in truth, it was as high as 380. Mm. And even if you look at the latest numbers, which I did to today, they're still over 200. We are looking at, in Germany, a county is declared as being an emergency if that number goes above 50. We are, again, we are over 200. So this explains sort of why the governor has moved backwards in terms of shutting down malls, shutting down hairdressers, shutting down nail salons and indoor restaurants. Because at the moment, we are not even close to where these other economies that have experienced basically the end of the virus. We're not even close to where they are.
Let me reintroduce our guest is Dr. Manfred Keil. He is the chief economist for IEEP, the Inland Empire Economic Partnership. He's also professor of economics at the Claremont McKenna College, Robert Day School of Economics and Finance. So last time we talked about rock bottom, and you indicated that that was kind of our rock bottom, but I don't think we fell deep enough. Our rock bottom is much deeper than it was 2 months ago when we spoke.
Yeah. So in terms of unemployment numbers, we did see after that low point of going, well, February to March was not really indicative because the survey of the unemployment is taken on the 12th of each month. I think we talked about this before.
Right.
The shutdown didn't occur until March 19th. So the real numbers came out in April.
Right.
And after that, we did improve a little, you know,
in
the United States. We did go from 16.4%. We're currently there at 11.1%, right? And so we've done better there. In California, in the Inland Empire, we have seen reductions But all of this, of course, happened before the current shutdown. And if you think about it, who will be affected most by the shutdown? We've talked about the five sectors.
Right.
We're going to go back to those five sectors. And next month's report will see an increase in the unemployment rate. And that, I have to admit, I didn't foresee. Mm-hmm. I thought we had hit rock bottom in the April numbers. And indeed, we've seen improvements since then. But this will not be reflected in the numbers for July.
One of the things that you did mention, and you did project correctly, was the idea of golf. You know, we talked sports last time, and we'll talk Major League Baseball in just a little bit, but just golf. You thought, and you were correct, that golf was a game that could be played because, you know, television rights need something on the air, and golf was one that seemed to work out. So you were correct on that.
I would say also, if you look, for example, to Paris, they will have the French Open. Because, again, you can space out people.
Right.
Even in a stadium, you can space out people. It's going to create a different atmosphere. But at the moment, we're really more concerned about seeing action, right? And, of course, as you know, in Florida, currently Major League Soccer has a comeback tournament. And baseball is preparing to open this week.
Right,
right?
The end of this week.
So,
right.
Yeah. And not sure how we will react to, I'm used to canned laughter in comedy shows, but
right.
It now sounds like we will have
canned cheering.
Crowd noise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is really discouraging. I'm really interested to see how baseball is going to look. I'm glad that it's something, but the conditions that they've come up with, Major League Baseball has come up with to play the game is really going to be different.
And we already have the news that Toronto will not be allowed to play games.
Correct.
In Toronto.
Right.
Because the Canadian government does not allow travel. This is another thing that is disturbing, to see the European Union block us out from visiting from outside, but not Canada and not China. You know, so again, we made this initial progress, and it was painful. Then here's a term that I really like. Everyone showed, just like you and I, everyone showed coronavirus fatigue. And, you know, so perhaps because of misinformation, we thought it was safe to go back out there. I did go to restaurants.
Yes.
I ate outside, right? I went to the hairdresser. But we thought it was safe to do. And now it has become clear that the way that we did it was certainly not safe. On the other hand, some people view for the economy to do well or to fight the virus as an alternative, a trade-off. I don't think it's a trade-off. I think fighting the coronavirus is a prerequisite. We will never have an economy running well if we cannot get rid of the virus. For example, a study at the University of Chicago by the former chief economist of Obama has shown that looking at all counties in the United States, that counties that experienced more death per 100,000 people had fewer people returning to restaurants, controlling for other factors. That's not surprising, right? If you and I do not feel safe in terms of going back to some activity that we've done before, if you and I do not feel safe, then we won't do it.
Right.
And it's surprising that, you know, let me take as an example the club that is in the city next door to me. I live in Upland. But there's a Claremont club that has 10,000 members. It's a large club. It has a 50-meter swimming pool. There's 29 tennis courts. It's a tennis center. And they were allowed to open in the last phase. And so what they had done is they had asked members to continue to pay monthly dues, and they said we would partially credit them in the fall and winter and so forth, and therefore they didn't lay off anyone.
Right.
And they opened it, and it was quite interesting. You had to make reservations. There were 45-minute time slots. When you went into the weight room, you were given a bottle with the detergent, so that after every station that you use, you had to spray it down, clean it, and then move on, right? And then you were only allowed to be there for 45 minutes. The sauna, of course, was closed. Jacuzzis were closed and so forth. So there were some restrictions.
Sure.
Then came the new order last Monday. And immediately the CEO of the Claremont Club sent around a message saying, we are now completely shut down. We have furloughed all of our employees. And I think this is what is so discouraging. What is so discouraging is this new shutdown. A lot of firms were hanging on, saying, let's get through this. And, you know, by the time July comes around, it's going to get warmer. The virus is going to go away, maybe. And we need to survive this period and we will be fine. And that, I think, is why it is so devastating to see the renewed shutdown, because all of a sudden we realize we're not fine.
Far from it. You're listening to Inland Edition on KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Today, we're looking at the state of our local economy with Dr. Manfred Kyle, professor of economics at Claremont McKenna College and chief economist with Inland Empire Economic Partnership. We need to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about something that would certainly be a shot in the arm for the world economy, a coronavirus vaccine. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inland Edition on KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest today is Inland Empire economist and professor of economics, Dr. Manfred Kyle. Let's get back to the interview. Let's talk about the vaccine. We had talked about that and projections of best case scenario by the fall, late 2020 of this year, but maybe more realistically it was going to be early 2021. What do you hear or what do you know regarding the vaccine at this point?
So today we have news of a published article in the medical journal Lancet, and it gave results for one of the trials that is most advanced, which is the one from Oxford University in England. And they found that there was a significant production of antibodies if you were given that vaccine, and that the side effects also were not very severe. People reported that they had headaches and things like that, but it seemed to be okay. So that trial is now going to move forward by vaccinating people in areas that have high rates of infection, and including in southern states in the United States. So that will be the next phase of the trial. If this goes well, it is perceivable that the vaccine will be available by the end of the year. Right? Then the next question after that is, will people be willing to be vaccinated? And there are these disturbing surveys that will say up to 25% of the people say they will not want to be vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
It's stunning. But if that happens with vaccine, then, of course, the effectiveness will be lower. Mind you, it's the people who have been vaccinated that should feel safer then, right? But so I think the news from the vaccine is quite encouraging. There are also two other trials that follow the University of Oxford trial. They're just a little bit behind. But this one, the journal, this the result was published in today, is one of the major medical journals. So I find that really encouraging in terms of having a vaccine ready late in the fall, maybe in the winter.
Right, and we know our economy is not going to improve until that vaccine is out and working, and that they have enough of it when they start giving it or don't run out of it relatively quickly. You know, something I didn't touch on and I want to ask you about is interest rates and trying to refinance or do anything that families can do at home during this time when the rates are staying low. And do we anticipate they'll stay low moving forward?
So this is interesting because we didn't talk about this. Construction has not recovered all the jobs, but they have recovered a lot. And that, so that means building is going on. If we look at the numbers for housing prices and sales, they didn't collapse. So things have been going well. And that also means that people are still doing payments. There is a big debate in D.C. today about a new package. As we know, the extended unemployment insurance benefits will run out at the end of this month. And when that happens, I believe people will have problems paying rent, paying mortgage, and so forth.
Right.
So if Congress today or this week or in the very near future passes another stimulus package, I do not see any reason why we will see more foreclosures, why housing prices should collapse, and so forth. And therefore, you're absolutely right. With interest rates as low as they are, this would be a fantastic time to refinance, or for that matter, if I had the money, I would perhaps even buy some property.
Our guest is Dr. Manfred Kyle. He is an economist serving the Inland Empire region. In our last couple of minutes, I want to talk about education. With the school term right around the corner for elementary, junior high, high school, as well as college, what do you see the forecast for the economy and how that's going to go based on if schools are going to be open or if they're going to be closed?
And that to us, of course, was one of the big stepping stones. We had all hoped that in the fall, schools will open. And if that happened, of course, then that would allow a better education for the children, and B, it would also help the parents who could return to work, right? And what has happened is, of course, as you know, the LA Unified School District has decided not to have in-person classes.
Right.
Some schools had tried a different schedule. So, for example, I know that the Claremont Middle School was trying to have half of the students in class Monday and Thursday, the other one Tuesday and Friday, and to have everyone at home with online on Wednesday. But all of this has been canceled. So we will not have classes. Everything will be online. In terms of colleges, so let me give you the example that is closest to my heart, which is the Claremont colleges, because I work at Claremont McKenna College, one of the five. Three of the five colleges have decided only to have online courses. So that's Pitzer College, Scripps College, and Pomona College. So they follow what USC had done, which USC originally had declared that they would have students on campus, and now they won't. What about the two remaining colleges? So my employer, Claremont McKenna College, will make a decision this week. Frankly, I would be surprised if they stick with their decision to have students on campus.
Right.
And that leaves Harvey Mudd, which is the engineering college. I think one of the reasons why more and more colleges have decided to be online is simply going to be what the Los Angeles County decides in terms of letting them do. And I cannot see with these current numbers that we have that you will have people traveling from all over the United States into a certain place, and then sort of them, perhaps because they are younger, interacting in ways that perhaps are not the most careful one to interact with these days. I cannot see how places like UCLA, of course, will have classes. UCLA, to my knowledge, has not declared yet. So the bottom line is, we face a problem in higher education. Perhaps that's secondary. The most important one is high schools, middle schools. The problem there is, as we know, in particular, minorities fall behind further when there is not in-school instruction. Some of them do not even have enough computers at home or any computer at home. And if you have four children, let's make an easy example, if you have two children, then you must have at least two computers at home because there will be different classes that they are attending. And this gets worse and worse as you have more and more children, right?
Absolutely.
And that assumes to begin with that you have the income that will generate, that allows you to have internet connections at home.
All right, so it's not looking too good. What's your last final thoughts that you'd like our listeners to know moving forward until we talk again?
I think the big picture, again, that I painted is, you know, the Great Recession that we saw before in 2008 and 2009 was a man session. There were two sectors that were affected, really, and they were dominated by males. It was construction and it was manufacturing. So we knew once we recovered there, then life will look better. The same thing here. We know that health and education, for example, will recover. It is just a question of
time.
Get the virus under control, and people will go back to hospitals. They will see doctors more often. They will see dentists more often. We're all ready, just like you and I, we're all ready to go and have a good meal in a restaurant with friends.
Right.
So all of that is there. I think at the moment, the thing to really focus on is if we can get the virus under control, then we can recover. And perhaps recovery then can be at an accelerated pace. Down the road, to be not too overly optimistic, are we going to end up with a 90% economy, for example, as The Economist has predicted, looking at China, let's say. So will we ever return to the level of activity that we had before? But that's negative. I think the positive thing is, as medical advances go along, we will do better. We just have to hang in there at the moment.
Well, Dr. Kyle, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to speaking with you again and hopefully on a better note.
I hope that next time we speak, we will look back at this and say, well, those were horrible days. We never thought before that we would see them, right? I hope that by the next time we talk, we will say, well, the end is in sight and things are looking good, you know. Maybe I should come to the studio with a bottle of champagne.
Yes, I take that on as a challenge, and I hope that your prediction on that one is correct. Dr. Manfred Kyle is a chief economist for the Inland Empire Economic Partnership, most often referred to as IEEP, and is a professor at the Claremont McKenna College Robert Day School of Economics and Finance. I spoke to him over the phone on Monday. Claremont McKenna College is online at cmc.edu. And you can learn more about the Inland Empire Economic Partnership at ieep.com. Join us again tomorrow for Inland Edition. We'll share information about programs available through Southern California Edison and SoCal Gas to assist customers during this pandemic. That's Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 6:30, right here on KVCR. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/Inland Edition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Search for Inland Edition on your streaming service. Inland Edition is a production of Empire KVCR News and is a team effort with writing, production support, and editing from Rick Dulock, Sharina Wadd, and David Fleming. I'm your host, Lillian Vasquez. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.